front. Can everyone see me now? Because I couldn't see everyone when I was over there. No, if I stand there, I can't see everyone over there. Can everyone see me now? Yeah? Yeah? Right. Well, I'll tell you one story before I start. When we lived in Gravesend, we just moved to London, and my cousin sent me a headline out of a paper, and it was about this school. It said, the cook had run off with the caretaker or something. And the headline in one of the Sunday papers was, "Cook serves up saucy surprise." And it just made me laugh because I thought, oh, I remember them. So, yeah, so thank you for inviting us today. And it's really good to share with you some of what God's been doing in our lives. And first of all, I just want to share with you that a while ago, I said to God, look, I really want to give everything to you. Whatever it costs, I want to give everything to you. And I just laid on the floor and I said, I don't know how many years I've got left, but I want to lay down my life for you, Jesus. Whatever you want to do with it, I don't want to waste it. And then not long after that, I got cancer and I got really ill, had this heart condition. And it was like, oh. And I had to have a defibrillator put in. So if I suddenly fall on the floor, don't worry, give me a minute or two and I'll get back up and I'll carry on. And that was in the January. In the February, I wasn't feeling too good again. And I was still trying to deal with this heart condition thing. And they hadn't fitted the defibrillator in yet. They were still sorting all that out and doing genetics on our kids and whatever. And then a month later, I found out I had cancer. So it was like, what is going on? I thought, am I going to die? I haven't been a Christian all this time to get prepared to then not be here to see part of what God's going to do. And I kept saying to God, please give me another 20 years. Don't let me die. Please give me another 20 years. And the rest is history. Cancer's in remission. I've got my defib in, so I'm fine. And my hair's growing back as well. I've got a bit of hair now, so that's good. But I think God took it seriously, and he knew, he thought, I'm going to trust you with a bit of suffering. And suffering's not nice, but if somebody said to me again, you had to go through suffering, I would do it again. I would do it again because I don't feel like the same person now. I wouldn't have been standing here like this a couple of years ago. I would have said, Paul, no, you do it. Go on. But I just feel like time's running away and we have to be prepared for what God's got for us. There's no time anymore to go to church and think, oh, that was good today. Go home. Go about your week and that's it till next Sunday. There's no way. There's no way. God has saved you all to set you apart to do a job for him. And we have to be ready. And I thank God for going through suffering because I feel now God's given me more power that I didn't have before. And he doesn't always give it. You can't just sort of plod along and then, God, I want this, I want that, and he gives it all to you. Now God says, no, I want to see you go through this first or go through that. And then God says, I can trust you. And I think, God, I want you to trust me for revival now. And also, when I go and pray for people now, I want to pray for people who... Because when you start this church down here and people start coming in, there's going to be people with such emotional issues that you wouldn't believe. They're going to be so messed up. The world is messed up out there. And just becoming a Christian is fantastic for them. But they're going to need healing. They're going to need emotional healing. All the baggage they're going to bring in with them. The church has to be ready to help these people. And there's going to be demonic stuff. So we need to be ready and pray for demonic stuff. And it's not something you think, oh, I'm scared, I don't do that. No, you will have to do it. You'll have to be ready and God will give you the power to do it. And, you know, but I feel like God is still getting us ready. And so I really believe that you need to be repenting of sin in your life, things that are wrong in your life, habits. It could be small things. God says, get rid of them. Attitudes, get rid of them. And God needs to change us. And there could be hidden sin that people do. and none of us know about, you need to get before God and repent of it and answer to someone and say, can I be accountable to you? I need to deal with this situation. And, you know, that's between you and God. But God's saying, no more. You need to be ready, power ready for me. And God wants to change us to make us braver, because sometimes people think, well, other people do that. Well, I would have always thought that, but now it's like, well, you've got to get on and do it. So we have to be ready. So God, it is an exciting time, because revival, I do lots of things in my school for God, but I've never really sort of thought, pray for revival. I'm praying for revival now in my school. I think, no, I want to see miracles in my school. I want to see revival. I want it to be on the news. Revivals broke out in this school in Bermondsey. I want God to do that. And he can do it down here as well. We have to be willing. We have to be ready for God to use us. And you know, and I think there's no other time like now. And I know we all love Jesus, but we have to really love him. We have to be in sync with him. It's not just a matter of loving him. You know, you want your heart to beat in time with God's heart. It's no good your heart beating like this and God's is beating like that. We need to be in sync with God. And then we'll hear what he's saying and what he's doing. And we'll see what he's doing around us. And we also, we have to let God, we have to love Jesus and be in sync with him, but also to be reading God's word. It is so important that we read that and know that, because God is really speaking to people so much through his word. Now, I know we know that, but we have to really know that. It's something that every day we have to be reading. Even if it's only a little bit, we have to be people who read the word of God. And I think it's exciting, because we did our bit in Gravesend when we were down here, and now it's your turn. And I think I'm excited to see what God's going to do, because we spent time down here, and at the time, I can't say, did I enjoy it down here? I'm going to be really honest. I'll be honest with you, okay? When I came to Gravesend, I'd been at Dartford and been so looked after in Dartford. I'd just become a Christian a few years before, and God had really worked in my life, and people looked after me, and I felt all safe and looked after. That's not what God wanted. God said, right, it's like, kicking the baby bird out the nest. He called us to come down here, and I thought, I don't drive. So being in Gravesend, you get a bus about every 3 hours, something like that, is it, to Dartford? And we had 4 kids, so I had to walk everywhere, because buses, you stand at the bus stop and they just don't come along, do they? In London, they're every few minutes. If you wait 5 minutes, you think, where is that bus? Here, it was like such a long time. And so when we lived in Gravesend, I just thought, God, I'm down here. I don't know anyone. I've left all our good friends behind, and I'm just in Gravesend. I don't know anyone. And Jesus said, I want to be your best friend. And he said, I want you to just spend your time with me. And I did. And I really, really got to know Jesus. I used to sit and just chat to him and say, I'm so lonely. I feel really lost down here. And he used to say, I want to be your best friend. And I did see, I made friends. I did. Because when I'm out and about, I chat to people all the time. You pass people, you just chat to them. So I did make friends, and people became Christians down here that I got to know, which was really exciting. And I think they're still going on with Jesus now. But, so sometimes God takes us out of our comfort zone, but he does it because he does not want you to stay the same. We can't stay the same. We have to move on. Otherwise, one day we're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, what did you do with what I give you? Well, I kept it to myself, or I was sort of wanted to play safe. God says, no, I wanted you to go and multiply it and use it and be brave and step out. And you know, God's got everything ready for us that what we need when we step out. So if we need more power, God's got it. It's just being able to know you can use that power. Some people would think, oh, I don't know what I'd do with it. Just go and try it. Go and see. And So, you know, everything we need, God has got for us. How long have I got, Paul? No, go on. How long? Seriously, how long have I got? About 10 minutes. Really? Okay. So let me talk to you a bit more about... So I've got all these notes here, don't worry. They're only here to help me because I can't really see them properly without glasses. So they're all like a blur, but I can't see you if I put these on. So I have to keep changing them. But let me have a look. What do I want to tell you? What will really encourage you? Well, for instance, this morning, let me tell you this. This morning, I was in church on the front row, and then I see this lady standing there with this little boy. And I was thinking, I don't know that lady at all. And she looked really, like, troubled. And as soon as I saw her, I thought, oh, that lady's not a Christian. She needs Jesus. And this little boy was obviously autistic, and he was running towards the band. He just liked the music. And I thought, please don't let anyone tell that little boy off, because she'll go and never come back. And I was like, Jesus, do not let anyone tell him off. And they didn't. And then I think it got to the point where she must have thought, I'm going to go, because he was all over the place. And I felt so sorry for her. I ran after her and I said, come back in, I want to talk to you. So I took her out the back. And I said, how come you're here today? And she said, I don't know. I was just walking by and he heard the music and he wanted to come in. And she said, I just came in. I just feel all emotional. Something's happened to me today. And I said, it's Jesus. I said, sit down. Then somebody followed me out, and it's somebody who works with special needs kids. And they took the little boy and was sort of put Peppa Pig on for him because that was what he wanted to watch. So I could talk to the mum, and she had this happen. Her brother had committed suicide. Her uncle had committed suicide. Her mum's an alcoholic, and she was saying, my partner has got such bad ADHD. He's all over the place. Oh, it was one thing after another. You know, when you look and you think, oh, but you have to start somewhere. And I just said, look, you've come to the right place. You've come to the right place. But she said, I don't even know why I walked in today. And I said, because Jesus led you in. So then she said, well, I believe in the universe and I've prayed to the universe. I said, hang on, pray to Jesus. Ask Jesus to show you how real he is and he'll show you. I said, you don't need to talk to the universe. You talk to Jesus. And then I said to her, look, I want to tell you my story, but can I take your phone number? Because I thought, I want to get her phone number. So she put her number in my phone and I sent her my story. And she said, I will listen to it. And I said, please do. And please, please come back again. And then she let me pray for her. So not a lot went on, but we sort of connected. And she said, I feel really loved in here today. And I said, you are. You are loved in here today. And then the music started up again. So the little boy ran back out and he was just like standing there like this. And I thought, we need people like that in our churches. They're the broken people. But it's going to be costly and it's not going to be easy. But we have to have things in place. So if there's teachers who have had special needs kids, we might have to miss the service to go out and try and help with the child just till they get a bit settled. We've got to be open to all kinds of people coming in, and it's going to be disruptive. It's not going to be all plain sailing, but they're the people God wants to mend and bring in and heal. So, yeah, so that was one story today. And then after that, there was another girl I had to pray with this morning. And I was just on my own. I looked around and there was no one who could help me. And so I just had to do it. And before, I would have sort of got other people and said, well, do you want to give me a hand and whatever? I just had to get on with it. But I'm really learning to rely on the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, you have to lead me because what I do is not going to cut it. You've got to help me. So I'm listening for words of knowledge. I'm listening for things. And then I'll suggest something like, I think you know, did this happen to you? And they'll look at you as if, like, how do you know? But it's the Holy Spirit, because I don't know. But I just have to go with that to sort of be led out to pray, because there's not always someone there to help you. So we just have to do it. But as we spend time with Jesus, he changes us. And as we carry Jesus with us when we go, and it just changes everything. The more of Jesus we have, it absolutely changes everything, because it's not down to us. So it makes the job easier. Okay? So Paul's looking at his watch. Paul? Go on. Do you want to come up now? Okay. So, yeah. So I just want to encourage you today. I hope we get a bit of time afterwards to just really cry out to God. You know, like, Jesus, it's all about you. It's not about us. Life, having had cancer and sort of facing death, thinking, oh, I might die and that's going to be it then. I was only going to be 63 and I'm going to die. I thought I would have lived to about 80. It changes everything. And then I realise how quick life goes. And we're here for a time. And then, like it says in the Bible, like the grass, it just blows away and we're gone. So life is short, and we need to make the most of it. Because one day, I want to get to heaven, and God says, well done, good and faithful servant, as he puts the crown on my head. I don't want to get there and think, I wasted a lot of my life. I don't want to do that. So I say that today to encourage you. You know, we need to go all out. And as we spend time with Jesus, he really does change you. When I go to school, I can't do it if I go in just as me. I have to go in filled with the Holy Spirit, else I can't do it, you know. So it is all about Jesus and giving glory to Jesus. Do you want to come up, Paul? Yeah. So I'm going to finish there. No, I'll tell you why. Because I'll just keep rambling on and rambling on. Sorry. So Paul's got things to say as well. Come on, Paul. Okay. Paul's a bit more slick than me. I am who I am. Paul is who he is. Right.
I'll set a timer.
How long did I speak for?
Oh, about an hour. So, Denise, honestly, has got loads of stories to tell you about. Particularly, she keeps referencing the school she works in. She's transformed the culture of this particular school to such an extent that it's like it is a proper mission field. The Holy Spirit is there. There's a kids' prayer meeting. There's a parents' prayer meeting. There's a staff prayer meeting. That if people are sick, the first thing they do is say, "Go and find Denise. She'll pray for you. You get better." Right. So there's she done a seminar talk last Saturday. Some of you may have been there. We hosted. Listen to the recordings of that. They're on our church website. They're on Spotify, City Hope Church, and you can hear the full unexpurgated version of what Denise has got to say. Loads of illustrations. But I want to talk about the urgency. Denise referenced the urgency that is growing, I think. I mean, it's always been there, but I think we're slowly getting aware of it again. You know, we can't stay the same. And we shouldn't stay the same, should we? You know, I'll tell you a little story. So back in April, I went away on a retreat on my own. I chose to go on this little retreat. It's not really a bit of me. I like to mix with people and muck about mostly. But I really felt I should just go on my own. I went to this sort of Christian centre out in Worcestershire, but it was in the just before the season started. So it was early April. And so I'm basically in the middle of a field in quite a fancy hut. I mean, it was nice. In Worcestershire, I spoke to the lady when I checked in, and I spoke to her when I checked out, and I never saw another human to speak to in that time. And in my mind, it was going to be a time to slow down, a time to pray, a time to read, you know, and maybe hear God's voice on my future, because I'm not young anymore. I'm 65. I'm coming up for 66. I've had that letter from the council, from the government, I mean, so that says, well, you know, start putting stuff in place to claim your state pension, right? So it's a landmark. So and I thought, oh, God will speak into my future and all that. The overwhelming thing I came away with after those 3 days was, Paul, go and get some counselling. Phil Pope, you don't need counselling. Right, I hear you say. I didn't think I needed counselling, but God spoke so clearly that I got home and I booked up to see a counsellor. And the backstory really, just for context, is I'm the oldest of five siblings. When I was 16, my mum walked out on our family, taking my youngest sister with her. We came home to a note on the kitchen table, and she was gone. That's quite a traumatic thing to happen. When family life up to that, as far as we were concerned, was fine. There was no ag or anything like that in the family. And so there was this event in our family. It was quite dramatic and painful, very painful. But life goes on, don't it? You know, and you switch on various coping mechanisms, and you eventually think you're all right. but I wasn't really. You know, nearly 50 years later, half a century later, nearly. And God says, go and get counselling. But it's been so helpful, right? Working through locked away feelings that I hardly knew were there, feelings of rejection, feelings of isolation, feelings of sort of the anger, frustration that comes with it. Learning to recognise and acknowledge my feelings. You know, I'm getting there. I'm still in the midst of the process, but I think I'm coming up out the other side now. But you think, why? What was all that about? He spoke and I did it. I was obedient. I believe God wants me to be at my very best for what is to come. And it's not just me. I'm not saying everyone goes and books counselling right now. But we all got to be at our very best for what is to come. And because of the urgency and because of the need, there is a multitude to win for Jesus. You prayed it, didn't you, just now? It's urgent. There's a kingdom to advance in Gravesend and Northleigh and beyond. And I want to be at my very best for the sort of final years of my life, so I can effectively bring the gospel to a broken world. You know, you think 10 years' time. In 10 years' time, I'll be nearly 76. Now, I'm sure there's people older than that in this room. Is there? Anyone older than that? See, it's old, isn't it? Right, because there's no one that age. 10 years' time, I'll be 76. I don't want to waste it. No, this could be, I said to myself, this could be a decade of destiny, right? Where we'll all have the opportunity to be all that God wants us to be, to go where he wants us to go, to do what he wants us to do. But it's about choices. Or we can sit back in the armchair of salvation and wait for Jesus to return or whatever, or we die, or whichever comes first. Before we know where we're going, it helps us to know where we are. And I want to ask you that question. Where are you? Where are you? Listen very carefully to these things, because can we stand just for a moment? I'm going to get you just to consider where you are on a number of headings. And I don't want you to tell no one around you particularly, but you may want to someone who you trust in the church. Where are you spiritually? Be honest with yourself. Where are you spiritually in your relationship with Christ, practically? Denise referenced reading scripture. I'm going to talk about prayer in a minute. There's other things. Where are you spiritually? Where are you emotionally? For me, God said, go and get counselling. It'd be very different for you. But how are you emotionally? Are you emotionally mature? Physically, how are you physically? I'm talking as an old man here, right? But how are you physically? Are you looking after yourself physically? Because there's a world to win, right? How are you relationally? Do you fall out with people? Is there things that you think, I ain't going there because they're there? Do you need to put things right with people? I want you, as you're standing, maybe just close your eyes and think through some of those headings, just for a few moments, because we haven't got long. Where am I spiritually? Where am I emotionally? Where am I physically? Where am I relationally? It's like an audit. Just for a couple of minutes, just think those things through. And God speak to each of us, I pray. Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak to every single one of us in this room and you'd highlight and pinpoint what you need to do in our lives. I pray you give us grace to surrender, grace to hold our hands up and say, Lord, I'm weak in that area. Please help me. Because the times are urgent. There's no time to limp along. We need to be moving fast and going together. Amen. Amen. Please sit down. And don't throw that away. Just carry those thoughts and think those things through. Maybe you can respond to with someone you trust and chat those through. Be accountable to someone. You know, I was going to talk about Abraham sending his servant to go and find a bride for Isaac. You know, he goes back to his hometown and finds Rebecca and brings her back for him. But we haven't got time for that. But one of the things that servant prayed when he got to the well where Rebecca first came out was, Lord, please give me success. Lord, please give me success. That's a prayer we can emulate, right? Let's be like that servant who went obedient to his master's instruction to look for a bride, right? Can you see the spiritual parallel? We want to win the bride of Christ, don't we? Right? And as we go, we must sense the urgency. Right? When Jesus at the beginning of his public ministry, as you know well, quoted from, in Luke 4, you read this, he quoted Isaiah 64, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, words to that effect. And he quoted that and he applied that to himself. And then we won't preach that, but then as you read on through Luke 4, he goes, after he's been in the synagogue, he goes back to Simon Peter's house, and he heals his mother-in-law who's very sick. And then word got round that Jesus was in town, and that evening people brought sick family members to Jesus and he healed everyone, it says. And many possessed by demons were set free, right? It's all really going off. And the next morning, they begged him not to leave. You can understand it, can't you? This is so exciting, the spiritual gifts and the healing and the deliverance, and it's wonderful. And when they begged him not to leave their town, Jesus said this, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent. People wanted to keep Jesus there doing the stuff, and I understand that, but he said, I've got to go. I've got to go. And we must emulate that. We must go. This is a small, this hour and a half on a Sunday is a very small part of our week, isn't it? Most of the time we're facing people who are not believers. That's your mission field. Maybe Jesus will speak to you about moving to another country or another town. But right now, it's the people you go and work with. It's the people you pass on the street, the people you sit on the train with, or whatever form of transport you might use, right? We're going. And we must have a going attitude. And we must feel the urgency. Jesus said, I must preach. Not, I might, or if I feel like it. I must. There was an urgency in him. In the book of Acts, we read those words in Acts 5. He says, day after day, they never stopped proclaiming the gospel. Can you hear the urgency in them words? That's for us. As you're looking to impact your communities, this gathering is great for us, but this isn't where you impact your communities. It's when we go. My mate's church, remember years ago, over the exit, they had a church building, and over the exit, you know, the main entrance door as you were going out, there was a big sign that said, this way to the harvest. Because it's not about in here so much as out there, isn't it? And that's the scary bit. There's an urgency. There's an urgency that I've never known in 40 years as a Christian. A couple of weeks ago, I got a text through from a friend from when we used to live in Dartford, when I was about, you know, from somebody I was friends with in my late teens, early 20s, right? And he was telling me this particular person was really quite unwell. He was in a hospice in Sydenham. And I was messaging him back, saying, I'd like to go and visit him. Can you check with his brother and all the rest of it? And the return of text was, it was too late. Paul, he's died. But that's one of my old mates. And then I heard one of my next door neighbour in our first house in Dartford, who was also a good friend and we used to socialise together. I heard he died in Vietnam where he lived, heart attack. He's the same age as me or younger. Right? And then another good friend I used to go football with sometimes and we used to hang around and socialise and drink too many beers back in them days. His brother, who I knew but not as well, he died. This is all within a week. Another guy, when I was working as a bricklayer, I used to work with him sometimes. And I heard he too had died. This is in a week. Four of my contemporaries in a week have died. It's urgent. That's my point. It's urgent. The clock is ticking. We mustn't be distracted. We must go together to this busted world that we live in with the good news. Amen. We've got to do it. And also, I've still got a little bit of time. I just want to highlight one of the obvious things which we struggle with so much is prayer. Prayer, one of the most essential things we can all do, apart from going, is praying. Right? It's to pray. If we want to advance the kingdom of God together, let's pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a good starting point. Right? We must be a praying people. Let's prioritize prayer, personal prayer and corporate prayer. You know, when the church calls a prayer meeting, it's always inconvenient, isn't it? Think, oh, it's cold, it's dark, it's late, it's early. It's always not quite the right time. We must grit our teeth and think, this is important, I'm going to go and pray. We've just recently started a prayer meeting. I started it and I've invited other people. With a very catchy title, called it Revival Prayer Meeting. It's on Zoom, right? I used to reject Zoom, but I thought this is easier. I don't have to leave my house for this one. So 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Thursday morning, and we pray and we focus on out. That's all we're praying for. It's for revive this nation. And we encourage ourselves with scriptures and with historic accounts of revival. And we pray and we pray and we pray for an hour. And it's fantastic. And I want that to be multiplied. And I've heard of other churches focusing on prayer for revival as well. That's my timer. 1 minute. Give me 1 minute. I'm just coming to land. Right? As we pray, as well as prayer, let us constantly, constantly provoke ourselves and one another just to share the good news. Tell your story. Like Denise just spoke about what happened today. That's all you got to do. To say, what's God done for you today, this week? What's he saying to you? And if you haven't got something from this week, you can tell people what he did for you with the day you got saved. Just talk about him. And if they don't like it, it's their problem. Smile and move on. But listen, I want you to sense the urgency. I want you to ask yourself, I want to ask you, are you ready? Yes, you are, is the answer to that. I will ask you this, what needs to change in your life? Well, you've already begun to think about that. Keep thinking about it. We must do what it takes, whether it means seeing a counsellor or repenting or reading the Bible or praying more or whatever it is. And let's take the light of the gospel into the darkest recesses of our town and our nations and our people. Let's show the riches that God has given us, because he's given us so much, hasn't he? Let's go with faith. Holy Spirit, give us faith for the harvest. Let's expect people to respond, like Denise has alluded to. You won't always feel powerful, but let me tell you, you are powerful, right? Couple of questions, I'm finishing. Are you an obedient servant? Ask yourself. Do you have that servant's faith that I alluded to when Abraham's servant? Do you have that faith where he went because he was told to go? And how badly do you want it? How badly do you want to see this nation changed? Because it may mean doing something different. Amen. I'm going to finish there about a minute over time, I'm afraid. Can we pray for you? Should we stand together? Denise is going to pray. She's a good prayer. Come and minister. Allow God, expect God to change you, right?
Yeah, is this still on? Yeah. The other thing, I did forget to say this, but If we're proactive in it, we will get to talk to people every single day. Every day I say, Jesus, who do you want me to talk to today? And I say, I always think I'll stop for the one, and I want to be power ready. I don't want to go out in my own strength, but like the strength of Jesus, like the Holy Spirit with me. And I always, there's always more than one. But if we don't do that, you'll go about your day and it will just, you won't even give it a thought. But I always think, oh, here's the one. Once I've spoken to him, I think, thank you, Jesus. I knew there was a one today, or I knew there was two.
Why don't you pray so, that we can do that?
Yep, I will. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this gathering here today. And I want to ask, Holy Spirit, that you fall on each and every one here today.
Yes.
From the oldest to the youngest. Come and fall on them, Jesus. Don't let people discount themselves because they're younger. Lord, there's a whole schools to be won over, and everyone's got their part to play. And I want to pray for everyone in this room that they will be power ready every day, that you would fill them, each person in here, with your Holy Spirit, that they'll be ready to go out and be ready to stop for the one. But I pray it'll be more than one each day. Lord, let everyone in here come back each week and have all their stories to tell. Let it encourage everyone. Let it ignite the flames, Lord. And Lord, I pray for revival in Gravesend. God, come and set these hearts on fire, I pray. Holy Spirit, come and set every heart on fire in here today for revival in Gravesend, Lord. And we just ask that in your name. Amen.
Revival starts with the church. Can you reach out to him? Right. And sometimes body language is helpful as you open yourself to him like this. Because I'd like to pray that Holy Spirit fills us afresh. Some of us have experienced wonderful power from him. But we want fresh power, Lord, for today. Today's anointing. Holy Spirit, would you come now and would you reignite those fires that burned maybe 5, 10, 30 years ago? Would you reignite a new passion? Almost, I pray, it's almost like a naivety. It's like, because experience can sometimes dull us and blunt us because you think we can get cynical. Now, I pray for that sort of a Holy Spirit naivety to come where we just step out anyway. I don't know what it is to cast out a demon, but I know Jesus has called me to it, so we speak to the demons in his name. I've never spoke to anyone. My personality doesn't allow it. Holy Spirit allows it. Wherever you are, in your classroom, you could be the only believer there. But it's you and Jesus that outnumbers everything. In your place of work, we're not allowed to talk about religion. Holy Spirit, give wisdom as well as boldness. But I pray for each one here that as they gather with their friends, the overflow of stories will come. Oh, you won't believe this. When I went to work today, this happened. Holy Spirit, would you come and stir something fresh in us? Would you stir an understanding and an expectation? Because the times we live in are urgent. This nation, the world is cracking and falling apart. It's fractured and broken. And we have the words of eternal life. We have the answer. So Holy Spirit, put those words in us in a way we can communicate with all people. Whether it's old or young or slave or free or Jew or Greek, whatever it may be, that you'll give us the ability to communicate the wonderful good news of Jesus wherever we are. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. These are not just words, because he chose you before the foundation of the earth to be holy and blameless. In his love, he predestined you to be adopted as his son and daughter. In accordance with his pleasure and will, it pleased him to pick you out. He loves you. He loves you and he wants you to serve him and to give for him. Time is running away. I could keep praying. Amen. Amen. Q, I'll give the microphone back to you.